text the team line at 970-242-1340 on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
It's 9 o'clock, hour 3 of the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Cake and Max today, practice squad edition, because Jim and the Buckeye boys celebrating Jim's accomplishment of being named the 2024 Outstanding Media Person for Interscholastic Sports Coverage from the Colorado Athletics Directors Association. We go to the team text line today. Bry Guy, congrats to Jim on his well-deserved award. Well on his way to taking over the king of all media mantle from Howard Stern. Absolutely agree, Bry Guy. Although we got to get this program on satellite radio, and that's that would be a challenge. I'm not saying we can't. I'm just saying it would be a challenge. Dylan today, good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the Avalanche looking really good. Bad, the Nuggets lost Saturday night. Ugly, puck hitting Jets player in the face yesterday. Ouch. Cake, since it's you and Max today, go on a pickleball rant. Dylan, you know I'd love to. Except not really, because I think that ship has sailed. I think that cat has been let out of that proverbial bag. You know, you can't overdo it. You gotta enjoy it once, and then, you know, it's... After that, it just kind of becomes... Jim today on the text line. Good morning, Jim. Not our Jim. But Jim asking if I'm a hater of all quarterbacks. Not all quarterbacks. If you're talking all Broncos quarterbacks, I mean, you know, John Matoka, rookie minicamp invite, arch rival of CMU in Colorado School of Mines.
You fan of Ben DiNucci?
The name, sure.
Jared Stidham?
Not really.
Zach Wilson?
I'm trying to keep him away from
my
mother.
We got a trend here, man. Jim, you're right. Tyler does hate all quarterbacks.
You know what? Jim, maybe you're right. Maybe I do. Maybe it's unfair. Maybe I don't know. Pyle, if you got your thoughts today on anything we've talked about, good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend, text it in 970-242-1340. The team text line, always open, 970-242-1340. Miles Kochaver, the coach of the Mavericks, will join us coming up at 940 this morning. You and I, Mr. Max, I've been waiting to hear your takeaway. I think it was no surprise that the Chicago Bears did draft Caleb Williams. I think everyone was kind of expecting it. I know you were kind of in the camp of it doesn't seem like the right move, especially with Justin Fields kind of progressing the way that he was. Get him some weapons. You get him some, you know, things to work with. Offensive line help, you know, you can kind of build with what you've got. You're starting fresh with a new rookie contract, albeit a rookie contract for a number one overall pick. So it's going to be a little bit pricier, I think, if it, you know, in just raw dollars. You got Roma Dunze, though, at 9 overall. So you do get a weapon for Caleb Williams to throw it to. So just give me, you Chicago Bears fan, your post-draft analysis of what your Bears did with the number one overall pick.
I wasn't sold in the beginning, as you just mentioned, about Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. the generational talent. I thought if they would have invested some of the same things it looks like they're investing in with Caleb, they might have had a lot more return on their investment with Justin Fields. But, you know, foregone conclusions, right? He's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. We have Caleb Williams. And I'll tell you one thing, Tyler, if 75% of what they say about this kid is true, then he's already the best Bears passer in franchise history.
And he hasn't even taken a snap yet.
But if it's true, and yeah, I I'm going to cautiously believe the hype because, you know, hype can lead to substance, which then leads to having an extended period of success, you know. But Williams has a lot of questions to answer, but the rest of the draft was good. You know, Adunze was a great receiver, one of the best in the draft. They got that Yale tackle who's really good, 323 with 36-inch pythons.
That's a that's a big boy.
The Hulkamaniacs are running wild at Bears training camp, and they got Torrey Taylor from Iowa. They got an edge rusher and Austin Booker from Kansas. These are pretty good. Chicago overall, their draft grade, well, depending on the Caleb Williams type, I got them at a B+, A-.
You mentioned the Hulkamaniacs.
What you gonna do, brother?
Well, yeah, I hope so, man. It's the beginning of a new era, and the excitement's there because of the hype. The Caleb Williams hype is really the only reason. I was discussing this with my family members via a terrible group. If you've ever been in a group text with your family, it's terrible. But
yeah.
I was doing that this past weekend, and everybody is excited. There isn't a lot of trepidation because, you know, whatever the past blah, blah, blah was, right? It's gone now. It's gone. The general feeling in Chicago is one of excitement. Now, it's much different than it was with Justin Fields because of what everybody has said about Caleb Williams. You know, and for Poles in the GM position, for Eberflus in the head coach position, they might be able to shore up their already shaky jobs with a show out this year. I mean, the NFC North, pretty ripe for the taking. The Minnesota Vikings are in a transition period with their quarterback situation. The Packers, though they made the playoffs last year, I think are beatable. I mean, I don't think Jordan Love is a world-ending quarterback at this point, and I think that defense needs a lot of help as far as Green Bay goes. Detroit's a big question mark. Can they repeat what they did? Are they on fumes from like last year because it was just such an inspiring piece of playing football? And we'll see. I mean, you know, I mean, it's always a wait and see thing. But for right now,
for right now, you're okay.
We're sold, baby. I am drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'll say this just to make sure that I can appease everyone that is back in my hometown. My family group chats are okay. Dad will occasionally chime in with something completely unrelated, but that's kind of, you know, on brand for him. And Tyler Franzen drinking game, make sure you hydrate every time you mention his family.
I just think there's an idea of what you can put in the group chat. Because if you start a group chat to talk about the Bears, don't have grandma talking about what we're all going to eat next Christmas.
Fair enough.
Like, that's a complete tangent.
Fair enough. No, I completely agree.
And I know grandma, I love grandma, but grandma doesn't understand that everybody gets these alerts. So if you're talking to one person in the group text, you're talking to everybody.
It's the reply all to an email thing, you know? And I just, that's one that kind of drives me a little, but yeah. So, okay. So you say B plus, was that kind of your
B plus A minus.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and you talk about Poles and Eberflus kind of saving their jobs. This was one of those drafts that I completely agree with you that would save a job or two. Poles probably more so just because, you know, it's one of those things where he was probably the trigger man for drafting Caleb and Adunze, the guy from Yale you mentioned. I don't know necessarily because Eberflus, it's one of those things, right? You know, we saw with Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence comes in, you know, same kind of deal where he is the number one pick. It's no doubt, no question, can't miss. This guy's your number one. Let's get him a coach in Urban Meyer that we think can develop his skills. And of course, that turns out to be a flaming disaster. Can you see a potential situation like that again, where Matt Eberflus, if he doesn't, and I'm not saying, you know, playoffs in the first year of Caleb Williams, although that expectation could be there. We saw it with CJ Stroud last year, you know, but it's one of those things where, again, if Eberflus kind of limits Caleb Williams in a way, or maybe his development is kind of stifled in his first year in ways that are just that are beyond just he's a rookie in his first year in the NFL. You know, does he do things that you go, hey, that's coaching, that's play calling? Do you see a potential situation where if it doesn't work out year one for Eberflus and Caleb Williams, that he comes back the year after?
Let me ask you to recall the Arizona Cardinals for the last few years, because the Caleb Williams pick feels a lot like Kyler Murray. As far as potential, as far as winning games, Caleb is a little bit better physically than Kyler, obviously, as far as tools go, his arm, you know, his size. But, you know, Kyler has been the beneficiary of a reputation of talent. Caleb Williams has a reputation of talent. So if things go bad, he is not the scapegoat. You're right about Eberflus and Poles. They will be the scapegoat, but you'll have a strange situation that I believe will evolve into whatever the Cardinals are right now with the Bears if Caleb Williams can't pan out, because he's the type of guy that has, I think, already been exposed to the wildness of NIL to a point where he knows his worth and he understands leverage within the business that is the NFL. So he can put like the Bears on notice, or he can hold them hostage, if you will, by saying, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it.
Right.
Just like, you know, kind of, you know, like Kyler Murray does, right? I mean, a new Call of Duty game comes out. He only goes like 8 and 9. It's going to be, I don't know, a coin toss, man. And yeah, we will see flashes of what Williams does. We will. But do the Bears have enough to get him to where they thought he would be? Or is he the missing piece? Pretty good line. Pretty good defense. It's okay. You know, they got some weapons. Obviously, they went to go get more with the Adunze pick. And, you know, it's just going to be a wait and see. But every error that Caleb Williams make won't be his fault until they get over this honeymoon phase.
I like that. I like that analysis. I really do. So, Pyle, if you got any thoughts on Broncos draft picks or draft recap or anything of that sort, you can text them into to the text line at 970-242-1340. Or go to the text line, Broncos Sarge. One of the dozens and dozens of people who've been listening to Jim since the late 1900s.
Shout out to the turn of the century.
I'd like to say congratulations. Jim Davis Show has been my morning routine forever. Great work. Thank you, Broncos Sarge. And he will absolutely 100% love the fact that you called it the late 1900s. I'm sure there will be absolutely no repercussions for that at all whatsoever. None whatsoever. He will absolutely love reading that totally, completely, and without any backfire on me at all. Robert, today.
You were born in the 1900s.
Yeah. What of it?
I was born in the 1900s. I think it's a great century, to be honest. A lot of good things in this century. Previous century.
A lot of events. A lot of history. Robert, today, congratulations to Jim. No one looks out for the local kids like Jim. He's like a second father to them. Have a grand day, team. P.S. Very, very pretty Max. But can they beat the Packers?
Not the first time I've been called pretty. Thank you, Robert. Yes. I do believe they can beat the Packers. Now, it's going to be dicey. It's going to be dicey because the Packers have expectations. They have a solid... Lord loves a solid quarterback. Let's say he's a solid quarterback. He's not throwing Patrick Mahomes numbers at you. I mean, he can eventually keep growing into that, right? But the NFC North is going to be a crapshoot, and I'm not sure where the Lions are, but I believe because of that... Yes, we can beat the Packers. We sure can. Even though it's been a while.
It's like you said.
It's been a long time.
It's going to be interesting. It is definitely going to be interesting.
Deep inside.
Let's see. I'm trying to see. So, yeah, we will see how it all plays out. And look, who knows? You saw the 2021 quarterback class. The only guy that is still on the team that drafted him number one overall is one Trevor Lawrence. Everyone else after him is now on an entirely new team. Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. Was I think Justin Fields was also in that 21
Desmond
class.
Desmond Ridder.
You know, and Ridder was, he was a late round guy, wasn't he? Or am I
not quite sure where he was, but I believe the strength of that season Cincinnati put together a couple of years ago really, you know, skyrocketed him up the charts. But this is the quarterback effect in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody like falls in love with their guy. And as a Bears fan, I can tell you the worst possible example of that. Starts with M, ends with Itchel Trubisky.
Yeah.
Right. And I know as a Bears fan, everybody out there is tired of hearing they could have had Patrick Mahomes, but they could have.
I'll say this, though. And
you know what they did? They picked a dude who played 10 games in his sophomore year at North Carolina.
I'll say this, and this is where I do have some concerns about the Caleb Williams pick, not because of Caleb Williams, but because of where he's going to. I know, like you said, Bears fans probably sick and tired of hearing, well, we could have had Mahomes. Yes, you could have had Mahomes, but would you have had Mahomes the way he is now? The answer is I don't necessarily think so, because Andy Reid made it a point to trade up to get Patrick Mahomes, let him sit behind Alex Smith, a very solid pro, let him observe, let him watch under Alex Smith's, you know.
And you want to say the Atlanta pick was bad after you say that?
Well, it's different because with Mahomes, he only had 1 year behind Alex Smith before he was put into the starting role, and he was great immediately. And a big chunk of that, I think, is credit to Andy Reid, because I think Andy Reid is one of the smartest offensive minds in football.
Now, here's a good kind of caveat to what you're saying, because you think about all the quarterbacks taken in the first 10 picks this year in the draft. How many of them have an Andy Reid-like figure?
That's
Caleb
good.
Williams
That's
doesn't.
A good question.
Jaden Daniels doesn't. He's got to go to the Commanders. Sorry, but Drake May? He's got Gerard Mayo, an unproven commodity in the NFL head coaching world, to figure out, right? You know, and if you go deeper and down the list, besides Williams and the hype, the Penix Jr. pick made the most sense.
But see, the Penix Jr. pick is, to me, it doesn't make sense because you're giving Kirk Cousins a 4-year window with all that money to win now. And then by the time Michael Penix Jr. is sort of, you know, next man up, he's going to be 28 and you're going to have to start thinking about the future again. When your quote unquote future is supposed to be happening right in front of you. I mean, at 28, he's going to have probably at best a 10-year window.
Would you rather have that in place, or would you rather have the dice roll the Broncos are doing right now with Bo Nix? Because it's 100% a dice roll. You bring in Zach Wilson to shore up confidence in your quarterback room? What are you doing?
But Bo Nix might start this year. Might start this year. He might start next year, but that's, you know, that's a 1 to 2 year.
And what quarterback? Name me one quarterback who started first year right out the gate that exceeded the expectations placed on
him. CJ Stroud.
Anybody else? Bryce Young?
No. Yeah, that's true.
Jamarcus Russell?
Oh, God, no.
Trevor Lawrence?
No, but again, a lot of that was Urban Meyer. A lot of that was Urban Meyer.
Doug Peterson hasn't done a ton with him. They made the playoffs.
He got them to the playoffs. That's significantly more. That's a significant improvement than where he was the year before. That's significant. That's not nothing. Because it was basically year one all over again for Trevor Lawrence. He had to start from ground zero because his rookie year was so bad.
This dude was generational too.
And again, that's fair, but a lot of his first year struggles were a result of the team culture being so messed up under Urban Meyer. Doug Peterson's main job, taking that Jacksonville job, was to restructure the culture, get it back to a winning mentality, clean up some of the dirt, get rid of some of the garbage.
Culture is important.
Culture is very important.
Very important. But no one drafts on culture. No one drafts on culture. Everybody drafts on hype. Everybody drafts on a quarterback that they think can do whatever it is they saw on film. They just buy right in. But if you look at culture, you make a great point. The culture that has been in place in so many of the NFL's franchises, the Patriots, for one, the Broncos in the late 90s and the mid-2010s, okay, that was culture. They had that culture established by people that they brought in to make sure the attitude was the same top down. So they wanted everybody to be on that winning idea, right? They wanted everybody to be like, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and this is how we go about our business.
Well,
and,
look at,
and the Bears don't have that. The Falcons don't have that. The Commanders don't have that.
I think Raheem Morris in Atlanta is going to try to establish a winning culture. And I think he's got a good leg up because he's been a head coach before. You know, we'll see. It's again, it's a total we'll see. We will have to wait and see. This is the part of the NFL that they love because it gets them talking. It gets us in the media talking where it's we literally don't know until we know. Until we see the product on the field either in preseason or in training camp, even the regular season. We still won't know until we know, but that's not going to stop us from talking about it. That's not going to stop us. Anyway, 9:21 on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Miles Coatshaver, and we'll hear from Coach about spring game festivities. Got a text from Terry this morning. Good morning, Terry. Good morning, fellas. Congratulations to Jim for the award. The best thing about the Falcons drafting Penix is that the Raiders didn't get him. Maybe they'd be interested in trading for Stidham.
Terry, I love that attitude. Love that attitude. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Attaboy, Terry.
Ooh. It's not bad. It's not bad. All right. Let's see. Quickly, I want to make sure I have my thing here ready to go for Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia. So Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia, it's your chance to win with Wrigley Field, the home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. Grand Junction's sports bar. Watch the Avalanche. Watch the Nuggets tonight out over at Wrigley Field. And if you are in the mood for lunch, they have the 15-minute lunch guarantee where if you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it is half off. So check out Wrigley Field today on North Avenue, just east of Sam Supplizio Field. We'll have a gift certificate to Wrigley Field for you with this trivia question. The Colorado Avalanche are 3-1 in their first round Stanley Cup playoff series with the Jets. When was the last time the Avalanche won a playoff series after dropping game one? When was the last time the Colorado Avalanche won a playoff series after dropping game one? First correct text on the text line, 970-242-1340. Got a lot of numbers in my head. 970-242-1340. First correct text gets a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction Sports Bar. $15 gift certificate to Wrigley Field Bar and Grill on North Ave just by Supplizio Field. The Colorado Avalanche right now 3-1 in their first round Stanley Cup playoff series with the Jets. When was the last time the Avs won a playoff series after dropping game one? Text in now at 970-242-1340. Winner gets Wrigley Field gift certificate. On the way, we're going to get into four down territory. I hope I should have prepared you for this the other day, but we'll have four down territory coming up in just a little bit. And some more of your thoughts on the text line, 970-242-1340.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
Sports. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Yeah.
Welcome back. It's the Jim Davis Show, Practice Squad Edition on the Team Sports Network with Cake and Max in the sidecar today. Jim out today. Buckeye Boy out with him as they are celebrating Jim's recent accomplishment with the Outstanding Media Person Award for Interscholastic Sports Coverage from the Colorado Athletics Directors Association. We go to the text line, 970-242-1340. Robert, as a Packer fan, isn't Caleb Williams a mama's boy? I mean, when he loses, I can hear Max laughing through the window over there. When he loses to the Packers, will he go to his mama to be consoled? In regards to Atlanta, left-handed quarterbacks should be banned from the NFL. Robert, that is a spicy take right there that I do not agree with. But I don't know.
Big time spicy. That's spicier than a Green Bay Packers fan's cholesterol level, brother. I tell you.
That's spiky for sure. We don't have a winner yet for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, so we're going to give you the question again, and you're going to text in the answer to 970-242-1340. For your chance today, $15 gift certificate to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's sports bar, just east of Splezio Field on North Avenue. The Colorado Avalanche are right now 3-1 in their first-round Stanley Cup playoff series with the Winnipeg Jets. When was the last time that the Avs won a playoff series after dropping Game 1? Because remember, the Avs dropped Game 1 of this series. They're now 3-1 in the series. They play tomorrow night in Winnipeg for Game 5, looking to wrap that series up. The Avs, right now 3-1 in their first-round Stanley Cup playoff series with the Jets. When was the last time that the Avs won a playoff series after dropping Game 1? I'll give you a hint. This is not a trick question. This isn't a, oh, they haven't. They have, in the past, won a playoff series after dropping the first game of that series. When was the last time that that happened? Text in your answers to 970-242-1340. First correct text will get $15 to Wrigley Field Sports Bar and Grill over on North Avenue. All right, Max, are you ready for some four down territory? Yes, you're not going to get an audible verbal yes. I need verbal assurance here.
Yes.
All right, then let's get into it.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, start things out with first down. Twitter/X user Danya Tessa Cab. Probably mispronouncing that, but that's okay. Had this post from all the way back in 2015. Quote, PSA to the NBA, Nikola Jokic is coming over this year. By the way, this is in all caps, so imagine I'm yelling. Nikola Jokic is coming over this year, picked by the Nuggets at number 41 in 2014. He will dominate everything you have and laugh. That was 2015 from this random Twitter account that mysteriously called the absolute domination in the NBA by one Nikola Jokic. Are we sure this is valid? Because I don't know how Twitter/X's change your posts. Because it would have said this is a revised version of this post. It would have made clear, like, this is a revision, like, if they did edit some old tweet from back when. But, I mean, I don't know. It didn't say that on there. This guy must be a Nostradamus, and I'm wondering if he can help me pick some winning lotto numbers. Just saying. Second down, Colorado prep football product and current CU Buffs running back Charlie Offerdahl was offered all the scholarship.
Don't celebrate that.
Come on. You don't like my puns? Anyway, Charlie Offerdahl given a scholarship to play football for Coach Prime in his second year at CU. The video of the moment when he's in the locker room getting the scholarship is fantastic. It's very emotional. Go watch it. Shout out Well Off Media, Deion Sanders Jr., a.k.a. Bucky. getting the video clip out there. It's really, really, it's really cool, actually.
Beautiful.
And I'm not just saying that as a Buffs fan. Beautiful. It's actually really cool.
You're probably not going to like third down if you're a Buffs fan.
Oh, dear God.
Right? Because I'm going to switch it up. This was my fourth, but third right now. Coach Prime, year two. Did you see the spring game over the weekend?
You know,
Smaller crowds than year one. It was still the second most attended spring game in school history, so the hype train still has some steam. Okay?
Yeah.
But Dion has spent most of the last month or so defending his choices, if you will, as a head coach, his family, if you will, as potential draft picks. And now, to you, good sir, you know what he promised over the weekend? You know what he promised? A bowl game appearance.
You gotta. For Peggy. Peggy Copham. You gotta for Peggy.
He promised. He promised. Look, we discussed this. Hype versus substance, because one has to turn into the other, because without the other, nothing works. So hopefully the Coach Prime hype is going to turn into substance this year, my friend.
I agree.
Fourth down, let me take you inside the MLB broadcast booth with the Philadelphia Phillies. John Kruk is on the call for the Phillies, and that man is a national treasure. If you've ever heard him talk about anything, it's entertaining. But even more entertaining when he's on a hot mic on a national broadcast.
Oh, boy.
He talks about how he played some spring games in Mexico a couple of times, of course, reflecting on the Rockies and the Astros over the weekend. And he laid out this wonderful story about he walking up to the plate in this Mexico spring game against a team from prison, a Mexican prison, and going up to the catcher who wasn't wearing any uniforms at the time, no catcher's gear, anything like that, all right? It apparently happened, he had found out in the at-bat, and he laid this out on the national broadcast, that this catcher was caught in the act by his girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
Of a little extracurricular activities. So what does she do? She burns all of his equipment.
Oh.
His car.
Oh.
And more. Therefore, leaving him to be naked behind John Kruk at home plate in a Mexican spring game versus a prison team when the Phillies went down there years ago. Give that man more microphones, John Kruk. That was fourth down.
That's a lot to break down. That's a lot to...
The recap, and he tells it so much better than I do. The recap, it's online. If you'd like to check it out, it was peachy. This is beautiful.
Okay. There you go. That is Four Down Territory here on the Team Sports Network. And let's see. Jared can't win, but he did have the correct answer. So that's good. Let's see. We got a couple of pictures. Sean O. Ooh, Sean. Were you at the game? This most recent one? Oh, Sean. I love the pictures. Killing it. Killing it with those pictures. Thank you, Sean. No, we have a correct answer, but as Jared points out, he cannot win. But he still has the correct answer. So, Jared, you spiritually win today, but you don't get the actual prize of the $15 Wrigley Field gift certificate. So, again, we'll give you the question one more time. Text it into the text line at 970-242-1340. The Colorado Avalanche, 3-1 in their first round Stanley Cup playoff series with the Winnipeg Jets. When was the last time that the Avs won a playoff series after dropping game one? When was the last time that the Colorado Avalanche won a playoff series after dropping game one? First correct text on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets a $15 gift certificate to Wrigley Field over on North Avenue, just east of Sam Saplesio Field. It's Colorado. It's Grand Junction's original sports bar. You can visit them today for their 15-minute lunch guarantee. If your lunch does not show up in 15 minutes or less, it is half off. So check it out today, Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar on North Avenue. $15 gift certificate on the line to the first correct text at 970-242-1340. When was the last time the Colorado Avalanche won a playoff series after dropping game one? First correct text, 970-242-1340, gets the gift card. On the other side of a break, we are going to talk with the head coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team, Miles Cochaver. We'll wrap up the spring game, talk about the reverse tailgate, how that went, see what other kind of things they got going on in terms of if they're going to start doing some more fundraising for the travels they have coming up, their planned travels this year to go to, I believe it's Texas A&M Kingsville again. I could be wrong, but we'll double check that to be sure, check the schedule, and we'll have a conversation with Miles Kochaver coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to the Team Sports Network, Jim Davis Show, Practice Squad Edition on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team. Get in the huddle with Colorado Mesa football coach Miles Kochaver on the Team.
Joining us right now on the Team line, he is the head football coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, Miles Kochaver. Coach, been a while since you and I talked just on our own. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing well, Tyler. How are you, man?
Doing pretty good. And let's talk first of all. Jim was out there for the spring game Friday, and despite the weather kind of being a little bit off and on rainy, it seems like you guys overall, would you say a successful spring game overall, spring scrimmage?
Oh, yeah, most definitely as we went, Tyler. First off, man, just congratulations to Jim and being able to go and get an award today for everything that he's done for years and years. You know, I can't tell you how thankful we are to have him, not only for the college, but the Valley as a whole and the work that you guys do supporting us and covering us. So we appreciate everything there and just wanted to give a shout out to Jim. But as far as the win on Friday night, man, we hit a perfect little window. We had a little bit of drizzle, but it actually cleared up and we were able to go out there and accomplish what we needed to get that final work in. We didn't take it just as a day off. We wanted to cover some situations, keep building our awareness as a team, understanding what we've got to do at the remainder of this offseason, and got out of there fairly healthy. So that's always a plus, and you're always winning. You know, you're not going to win a game in the spring, but you dang sure can lose one sometimes. So it was great to be able to get out of there relatively healthy.
You know, and it's huge. First of all, we'll definitely pass along to Jim your congratulations, and I'm sure he'll definitely appreciate it. But as far as you talk about the situations, what were some of the main situations you wanted to go over? We'll start on the offensive side. The situations that you primarily focused on in that spring game, for those that maybe missed it, what were some of those things offensively, situationally, that you wanted to work on?
Well, the biggest thing that we had to have a goal of this spring was our consistency. We had to learn to control the line of scrimmage, you know, dictate how the game flows. So we wanted to put those guys in some of those situations on Friday, and we were able to do that. Started the thing up with some open field play and letting those guys understand, you know, you've got to be able to run the ball. We've got to be able to control the clock and wear teams out. And I thought the offense did a good job of doing that on Friday. You know, and then we started some situations where we were backed up. You know, the importance of being able to flip the field, playing that field position game, understanding where you're at, being able to put together 2-3 first downs and really be able to change a game, change the momentum, take it back over offensively. Defensively, then, you know, you got to pin your ears back and you got to understand that if we can pin them and force them to punt from their own end zone, good things are going to happen for us. So both sides of the ball, learning in each of those situations. Then we put it, you know, in the plus territory and let these guys understand, okay, now offensively, we've got an opportunity. We're already in field position to be able to get some points on the board, get a first down, and we've got a field goal guarantee attempt. You know, so those, when we got to eliminate the penalties that push you out of those areas. And then defensively understand, okay, this is where, you know, the percentage for them to take shots at the end zone is going to go up. We've got to know where we're at, and then it changes your mindset as a play caller. So it was good for coaches, players alike, to be able to get those different situations in. And then just went down at the end and closed it out with a little bit of, you know, low red area. And again, you never know what's going to happen throughout the course of the game. So the defense being, you know, having that mentality anytime, anywhere. And then offensively, really understanding that now we've got to make it count. We've got to find a way to cross that line and put six on the board. So,
Miles Kochaver, the head coach of the Maverick football team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. So we talked about the offensive side of the ball. It's going to look a little bit different this year from kind of the sidelines and on the field. You're going to have a new, relatively new offensive coordinator, Tom Thanell, taking a job over on the front range at the high school level. And so from a schematic standpoint, do you kind of notice in these early spring practices a major shift in the offensive philosophy, or are there still a little bit of continuity there?
No, Tyler, you know, we were able to, when we came in 3 years ago, now that we get ready to go into this third season, we knew where we wanted to go with the team. So we had to build this thing correctly. And, you know, if we just came in and did a complete overhaul at the beginning, you know, it would have hurt us. So you have to use what you have at the Division II level in a lot of ways. Yeah, we went out and recruited, and now you're starting to see the identities that we want to have as a team, and got some big physical guys that can move up front, have that mindset to be able to win the line of scrimmage. So regardless of Tom leaving or not, we were going to, you know, that transition has been coming over the past 2 years. So the continuity has stayed consistent with these guys, and they have a great understanding of what we want to do.
And the quarterback position, there were a lot of snaps taken between two guys. One of them, I'm probably going to mispronounce their name, Liu Aumeve.
Yeah, and that's kind of the condensed version. But yes, Liu came in at mid-year transfer from San Diego State. You know, was a Utah kid coming out of high school, and had great success, and was looking for a place that he could come and compete for a job. So it's been great to be able to have him, and then him and Leslie have done a great job this spring of raising the quarterback room. So it's been fun watching those two get after it.
You mentioned Leslie Richardson getting some snaps and kind of really sharing a lot of the load in that spring game. We're talking with Miles Coachaver, the head coach of the CMU football team, on the Team Sports Network today. So as far as, you know, and again, it's still spring, you're starting to think about going forward, and, you know, you're going to have the summer to think about this before you get really deep into camp. When it comes to the quarterback position, do you kind of have an idea as to kind of who's leaning towards being your number one and number two, or is that still kind of, are you still working on the details of that?
You know, we'll finish this analysis up on the spring and go through everything, and these guys did a great job of kind of bringing both of their skill sets to the forefront, but ultimately it's going to be the guy that can put us in that position to win consistently and you know, really take charge of the offense. And they both did that at times and had other times that it wasn't as good. So, you know, we'll finish up this week and kind of grades and knowing where we're at, but you know, we need those guys to continue to push through the off season and be ready to go into fall camp. And, you know, we'd like to close out that competition early just so that we can say, okay, we've got a guy, and, you know, you can kind of build around that. But both of them, you know, brought great stuff to us this spring, so it was fun watching them in that competition, in that room as a whole. We had a number of guys with Cole Hansen, Brock Bider. Another guy was in that room at the beginning was Max Huff. So, you know, Huff ended up finding a role as a tight end and has done a great job this spring. And so those guys and those athletes and smart kids, all of them, they got to find ways to contribute. And I think all the quarterbacks did a great job this spring of showing that they've got value.
When we talked with you last time, you mentioned that after the game itself, you guys were going to do the reverse tailgate. And I just got to ask you, how do you think that went? And then kind of in addition to that, you mentioned that this year you're going to be traveling to Texas A&M Kingsville. You want to kind of start to build some of the necessary travel funds for that trip. And so is there any more fundraising or any other campaigns that you guys are going to be doing going forward so that you can get ready and have that travel budget ready to go for the Kingsville game and for the rest of the season?
Well, you know, these guys did a great job with our day of giving, and I just want to give a shout out to everyone that pitched in and helped us there. Our team did a great job with that, took onus in it, went out, and we were able to reach our goal and raised a lot of money with that event. And then the spring tailgate that we did, the reverse spring tailgate, that was more of a celebration, but also, you know, we have a lot of support here, man, and there's something special happening right now, and We continue to build. We had a great showing, even with the weather being bad. And everybody was just able to come over and interact with our players. And, you know, we had a great meal provided by Mike over at Rib City. And then we had some pork butts from Fisher's Meat Market that they prepared for us. So it was a really good barbecue, hamburgers and hot dogs. Great event. We were able to raise money. And yes, it's, as you do this, you want to go and you want to play top competition year in and year out. Well, you know, with what the demographic of Division II football, and we're becoming the furthest west institution, for us to get those out-of-conference games and games that can help build us throughout the season, you know, there's some travel involved. And, you know, it was necessary for us to charter a flight to Kingsville, Texas this year. And so that just comes with a hefty price tag. But with the support that we have in the community and through the university, you know, we were able to raise some funds, and we're going to be able to treat these guys to a first-class experience, be able to go down there and play a heck of a game.
All right, we'll get you out of here. Coach Miles, Coach Aver, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And obviously, this is probably not the first time, or last time, I should say, we'll talk with you before we get into summer camps and start thinking about the next season of Mavericks football in your year three as the head coach. Miles, Coach Aver, joining us on the Team Sports Network today. Coach, always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll talk to you again very soon. And congrats on the spring game success. And we'll talk to you again hopefully very soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
All right. I'm Miles Coacher, joining us on the Team Sports Network today. And all your Maverick action going on, catch it here on the Team Sports Network. We're going to have Mav Day tomorrow, brought to you by Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. We're not going to be out there, but I do want to give a shout out over to James at Colorado Craft Coffee for sending Buckeye Boy home, or rather sending Buckeye Boy to the station with a coffee for me last week. That was excellent. I don't know what it was, but it was very good. It was a really, really good cup of Joe. Had a good flavor to it. And they can add just about anything, like, you know, flavorings, no extra charge. You can bring your own food in. They have trivia nights. They have all sorts of fun events. You can always check them out, Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. And we'll have Mav Day brought to you by them at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House tomorrow, here at 9 o'clock tomorrow on the Team Sports Network. All right, we got like 3 minutes left. And let's go ahead with the time that we have. Hop in the dumpster for a little garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
You got anything for garbage time, Max?
What do you know about home run sausage, Tyler?
Nothing.
Nothing. In Minnesota, absolutely, home run sausage is a thing. So the Twins started the year 6-11. Kyle Farmer, a utility infielder for the Twins, well, that day after they went 6-11, he had a packaged summer sausage in his locker in the clubhouse. He didn't want it. He put it on the clubhouse table. No one ate the summer sausage. But instead, hitting coach David Popkins for the Twins placed it by the dugout bat rack. Now, Ryan Jeffers throws it, catcher for the Twins, throws it at teammates following a big hit, and it even comes along on road trips. The home run sausage has Minnesota over the past 10 games, 8-2. The home run sausage.
The smell, though. I love me a good summer sausage. What I've done, and I don't imbibe as much as I used to because, you know, I am trying to eat a little healthier. I have gotten compliments. People have said it looks like I have lost a little bit of weight, and I think I have.
Whoop, whoop.
But I used to, I did summer sausage with a nice, like, French bread. And not quite necessarily a sandwich, more like a dumpling. Take the stuff, basically, you know, the actual, like, soft bread out of the French bread crust. Kind of mesh it with the summer sausage. Makes a really great snack. Very caloric. Very cholesterol. Very sodium. But very delicious. The home run sausage, though, from Minnesota. That's
baseball players are a superstitious lot.
Listen, it is on brand. It is very on brand.
I've heard of not washing things or, a summer sausage that just magically appeared and you go on a winning streak. Ooh, home run sausage.
Home run sausage.
Like the rally monkey in Anaheim
I think home run sausage would be a great, like, mixed sports and cooking show. Maybe that's a project you and I can start up. On our own.
Right? After what you just said there, you got some chops, right? Hey, everybody, this is Tyler Franzen, and we're rolling out.
The home run sausage.
Looking for America's greatest home run sausage?
What am I, Guy Fieri now?
Yeah.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you back tomorrow. Well, we won't, because Jim and the Buckeye Boy back with you tomorrow. Give us a full three of Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.